Srila Prabhupada commented on this song. He actually gives a long purport, which we're not going to be posting, but I just wanted to read one small piece from it. And in it, he goes line by line explaining Rupa Goswami's intent and meaning. And in the very end, Srila Prabhupada comments that the lesson is that we should not treat Radharani as an ordinary girl or Krishna as ordinary man. They are the supreme absolute truth. But in the absolute truth, there is the pleasure potency, and that is exhibited in the dealings of Radha and Krishna, and Radha's expansion, all the gopis. And Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So, sometimes, as we mentioned yesterday, the personality of Srimati Radharani is not understood by philosophers, people in general, mental speculators, impersonalists, of course. They don't quite understand who Srimati Radharani is, and how is it that the absolute truth can, from one, become two for the purpose of pastime. There's a very nice verse that we're going to read this morning. That is from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 2:14, in which Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami states, Se gopi gana madhye uttama radhika, rupe gune sobhagya prema sarvadika. Among the gopis, Srimati Radharani is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in love. And on that note, to understand the identity of Srimati Radharani, one should first understand that the Lord has unlimited potencies. And those potencies are giving him full knowledge, jnana, bala, strength, and kriya, activities. And therefore, for him to expand himself or to engage in transcendental activities is it's not understood by common persons. It should be understood from the liberated souls, just like we heard this morning. Srila Prabhupada was giving a wonderful comment. It was from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Suvas Prabhu was reading, and in it, Srila Prabhupada was began to touch upon. The personality of Radharani. And later on in the Chaitanya Charitamrita also, Srila Prabhupada comments that one should understand this from the liberated souls. Otherwise, it is a puzzle to the materialistic mind. It's not comprehensible. One has to hear from the liberated souls, those who have realized to some degree at least, because the absolute truth is only understood to a certain degree. But one should hear from such great personalities. So, again, the Lord has unlimited potencies, and they're categorized into three divisions that we understand as his internal potency, his external potencies, and his marginal. And in that internal, there's three aspects, and that would be the Sandini, or his eternal existence, the manifested forms of Krishna, and the samvit, or the cognizant, or the potency which provides him knowledge. And the essence of that is that Krishna knows who he is, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and it allows us to also know him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But then there's also the Ladini Shakti, and again, Satchit Ananda. It makes perfect logical sense. That Ananda, or that Ladini Shakti, is the potency which gives the Lord pleasure and nourishes his devotees. And the personification of that, as Srila Prabhupada pointed out this morning, is Srimati Radharani. Therefore, it makes sense that the only source of enjoyment for Sri Krishna is Srimati Radharani, that internal pleasure-giving potency. And this is important because it's not that the Supreme Lord, when he engages in transcendental pastimes, or when he engages in his pastimes with his loving devotees, especially his internal potency, as we're going to be reading today, these are not mundane relationships. They're not mundane activities. We can't equate them whatsoever with the mundane loving exchanges, actually lust exchanges that go on in the material world. There's no comparison. And that is exemplified in the greatness of Srimati Radharani's love for Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada points out in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that this loving relationship between Radha and Krishna is pure love, because that relationship is based on Radharani loving Krishna for his pleasure. Typically, we find in this world that relationships are based on as me, myself, being the object of that enjoyment. But that is not the case in the relationship that we experience, or that we hear from Radha and Krishna. And again, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami continues by saying that the object of lust is only the enjoyment of one's own senses. Whereas the gopis and Srimati Radharani, their only pleasure was to give pleasure to Krishna. And whatever affection may have been exhibited, and whatever the gopis themselves, whatever affection they show or concern they show for their own bodies, know it for certain that it is only for the sake of Lord Krishna. Whereas in the material world, again, we see that for the most part, people are interested simply in their own gratification. Therefore, we may easily misunderstand the activities of Radha and Krishna and the Lord and his devotees, intimate devotees. In this regard, Srila Prabhupada comments that the situation of the gopis is perplexing, for although they do not want personal happiness, it was imposed upon them, because the relationship is such that there's a competition of increasing a beauty between the gopis and Krishna, which is without limitation. There's a constant competition that the gopis are trying to offer Krishna some kind of service. And the Lord feels that loving exchange, and his love increases. And as a result, he becomes more attractive, and then they become more attractive, and then he becomes more attractive, and then it goes back and forth, and it's unlimited. So these are not mundane experiences that that we can equate with in this material world. Therefore, and among all those gopis, Srimati Radharani is the foremost. She surpasses all in beauty, in good qualities, in good fortune, and above all, in love, as we're reading this morning from this wonderful verse. And who Srimati Radharani is again not understood by the people in general. Although her qualities may be described to some degree in the Puranas, the subject of Radharani is very confidential. Therefore, she's known as Veda Gopya, or hidden even in the Vedas. Because she's very confidential and most dear to the Lord desired that he himself would disclose her glories. This is a very interesting rasa that we're seeing here. As Radharani Tattva cannot be known among the people, that's why the Lord ordered Jogamaya to make the portion of scripture describing Radharani difficult to understand, and that her glories remain unknown to people until the Lord himself descended in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Although the name is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, it's mentioned indirectly, and Sanatana Goswami points that out in his Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in which he's describing to his mother, Uttara, that Shukadeva Goswami was very careful not to mention the name of any gopis when he was describing the Srimad Bhagavatam. And for that, and the reason for that is that he would pronounce, if he were to pronounce any of those names, that he would go into an ecstatic emotion. And as a result, the reading of the Srimad Bhagavatam would be disturbed. So he was careful not to. Although there is one very nice verse, and it goes as Anayuradhiro Nunam Bhagavan Harir Ishvara Yanno Vihaya Govinda Prittoyam Anayad Raha. Quote, certainly this particular gopi has perfectly worshipped the all-powerful personality of Godhead Govinda, since he was so pleased with her that he abandoned the rest of us and brought her to a secluded place. So in this verse, the words Aradita, it indicates Srimati Radharani indirectly. So she is mentioned, but again, for the purpose of the completion of the Bhagavatam, Shukadeva Goswami had to be very mindful and careful. Now we also read in the Vedic literatures that when the Lord descends, he descends with his associates and his paraphernalia, just like a king that may come to a particular place. He comes with his associates. He comes with his associates, his paraphernalia, and so also, when the Lord descends, he comes with his associates. But there's one place that was created by Srimati Radharani. And that place was to lure Krishna away from another lover. Because Krishna, we understand. Can you hear me? Because Krishna has so many gopi associates. Srimati Radharani was aware that Krishna was associating with one other gopi. And so she devised a plan to create a place whereby she would be able to lure Krishna away from that lover. This is described by Lord Shiva to Parvati in the Ananta Sanghita. where he's describing why Radharani created this place that we understand to be Shridham Mayapur. And Lord Shiva tells Parvati that Krishna was enjoying with one gopi associate, Viraja, in the pleasant forest groves of Vrindavan. And Radhika heard this news from one of her sakis, because Radharani has associates, sakis, who are, I wouldn't say spies, but they're aware of what's going on. They're aware of what Krishna is doing. So they informed her that Krishna was associating with Viraja. And so when Srimati Radharani heard this, she hastily ran to find Krishna, seeing desiring to know what is it that is going on, and what is it that Viraja is, what kind of service is she offering to the Lord to attract him. So as she was running to see, Krishna heard about it, that here comes Radharani, so he disappeared. And Viraja became a river, the Viraja River, which circumambulates Goloka. So when Srimati Radharani arrived there and found that he was not there, she was absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and began to think how to attract him away from this Viraja. So she gathered all of her Sakhi friends, and in a place between the Ganga and Jumuna rivers, she created a beautiful, wonderful setting, which was decorated as described, with creepers and trees, and filled with male and female bumblebees and deers and bucks and wonderful fragrant flowers. And that transcendental abode was adorned with tulsi forests and decorated with various groves. So on Radha's order, the Ganga and Jumuna, with their pleasant waters and banks, acted as a moat to protect that garden. And Radharani dressed in a very colorful cloth and then began to play a beautiful melody on her flute in order to attract Krishna. And attracted by that melody, Krishna appeared in that enchanting place. Radha, the attractor of Krishna's mind, seeing that Krishna had come, held his hand and experienced ecstatic delight. Then Krishna, understanding Radha's mood, spoke in a voice choked with love. And he speaks some very, very loving words to Srimati Radharani, expressing his eternal love, and that I will never leave you. And just for me, you've created this very beautiful setting. This place, the devotees will glorify as new Vrindavan. As this place is like an island, in that it's surrounded by the Jamuna and Ganga, the wise will call it Navadvip. And by my order, all the holy places will reside here. Because you have created this place for my pleasure, I will live here eternally. O dear Radha, like Vrindavan, this place is extremely pure. Anyone who comes here just once will attain the results of going to all sacred places. Hari Hari Bo. He will quickly attain devotional service, which satisfies us. O Parvati, Lord Shiva continued, I have described to you the reason for the appearance of Navadvip. When heard by mankind, this narration removes all sins and bestows devotional service. Whoever rises early in the morning and with devotion to Gaur decides, recites, or hears this story of Navadvip's creation will certainly attain Gauranga. Jai. Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. So we can understand that Radharani is not just a simple or just an ordinary personality. Over and over, we're seeing here how she's actually non-different than Krishna. She actually states that to, who was it, Lord Brahma, in one of the Puranas. There's a statement where she tells Lord Brahma, "Know for certain that I and Krishna are one." So she's not an ordinary associate or expansion for that matter. But she's non-different. And that for the purpose of loving exchanges, as we were reading earlier, that she's the topmost in so many areas, especially love. That her pastimes with the Lord are of a whole different understanding. They're completely beyond mundane calculations and understandings. Therefore, again, one has to hear this. And Prabhupada, again, he himself states how one should not read the 10th canto, for instance, the Bhagavatam, because, again, if it's not heard from the proper authority, there's a misunderstanding there. And we begin to equate the pastimes of the Lord and his associates in Vrindavan and his sakis and his internal energy, Srimati Radharani, as just some ordinary experience. The appearance of Radharani in Goloka is also very special, in that it's described that in Goloka, there is a place called Rasa Mandal. And on one side of the Rasa Mandal, there is a mountain called Govardhan that becomes Govardhan in Bhuloka. And in Vrindavan, there are nice gardens and flowers, and the Lord of the universe was there. And all of a sudden, he desired that he wanted to enjoy. And as soon as he desired that in his mind, immediately from his left side appeared a very beautiful Devi. We can understand, just like we're seeing Radha and Krishna, the Devi, she's on his left side. She appeared from the Lord's left side. And she was decorated with valuable jewels and wore cloth purified by fire. She was dazzling like millions of moons. Her body the color of molten gold, she was illuminating everything with her radiance. When she smiled, her teeth were very attractive. Her face defeated the beauty of lotus flowers in autumn. She was wearing a wonderful flower garland of malati and diamond necklaces. Her bodily effulgence was brilliant as the sun in summer season. And she was sitting next to the Lord on the Ratna Singhasan. Thus the Lord appeared in two forms. From the left side of his body appeared Srimati Radharani, and the right side of his body appeared Sri Krishna. When Lord Sri Krishna saw Radhika, he wanted to enjoy with her. Knowing this, her form became even more beautiful immediately. She ran to pick flowers to offer to the lotus feet of the Lord. Because she appeared in the Rasa Mandala and immediately ran to serve the Lord by picking flowers, she is known as Radha. Ra references the Rasa Mandala, and Da represents Davamana, or running. Therefore, we get this wonderful name of Radha, because she appeared in the Rasa Mandala and was running to the Lord when she saw him. And becoming very enthusiastic to enjoy with him, she became more attractive, he became more attracted, and thus we have this wonderful, wonderful exchange. And this exchange, we can understand, again, is not of a mundane nature. That Sometimes, though, we're reading here, sometimes, though, Radharani can also become a little inattentive. Inattentive. In one circumstance, she was serving Sri Hari in a solitary place in Mahavan. Radharani was experiencing so many ecstatic symptoms serving Krishna that she lost her external consciousness. She lost her external consciousness. And while she was in that condition, Krishna saw an opportunity to go and visit Viraja. Krishna's a lover boy. What can you... While she was in that condition, Krishna left her and went to meet with another gopi, Viraja. And shortly after that, as Krishna had left, Radharani came out of her condition and she was wondering, where is Krishna? Not seeing him, she began to inquire, and one of her sakis told her, again her sakis, they're on the job. They told her that Krishna had gone to Viraja to receive service from her. And this made Radharani very angry. So she again was thinking, who is this this crooked Krishna? And how can he go away like this? I don't want him. I don't want him near my home. I will go to Viraja's Kunjan. I want to see how she's serving him. So she gathered up some of her sakis. She has 630 million gopis as her personal assistants. It's quite an entourage. So her 630 million gopi assistants, they all wanted to also go to Viraja's Kunja. So how to do that? Well, they all climbed up on her chariot. And her chariot is described as 100 yojanas in height. So that's almost 1,000 miles, right? 900 miles. A yojana is about almost nine miles, a little shorter. So it's 900 miles high. That's a pretty good chariot. And it was 10 yojanas in diameter. So that's another 80, 90 miles wide. And it was decorated with all sorts of wonderful amenities, made of perfect gems and stones, and millions of flags and kalashas, and it had 100,000 wheels and flew at the speed of mind. Not like, some of the little cars that float around the streets these days, and people are very proud of them. But they're nothing in comparison to Radharani's chariot. So she goes to the place where the Lord is there enjoying with Viraja. And as he gets to the gate, who stops her but Sridham? Sridham is a big, powerful gopa friend of Krishna. And he's protecting the gate. And and Radharani says, step aside. We want to come and I want to see what is going on here, and he refuses. So her Saki friends, Radharani's Saki friends, physically remove him, and Radharani passes. And the pastime is quite long, so we'll just very briefly. Krishna sees that Radharani's coming, and so he disappears. And Viraja becomes the Viraja River. And in this, and then Radharani leaves, Krishna comes back, Viraja returns. There's an exchange that goes on there. Radharani hears about it again, and begins to rebuke Krishna in so many ways, and begins to say so many strong words. And Sridham doesn't like this. How is it that you're offending my Lord and Master, the Lord of the universe, in such with such language? He did not like that. But she again began to call him in certain strong words, and in his defense, Sridham says so many things back to her, and Radharani becomes so angry that she curses him, that you become a demon. You take birth in the material world as some demon, Shankachuda. And he curses her that, well, okay, well, you take birth also. And in your case, you'll be separated from your Lord for 100 years. So Radharani appears in this material world, on earth. And the circumstance of that is that she, again, is involved with another interesting exchange between Vindhya Parvat and who was it? Himalaya, and concerning Lord Shiva. And it's a long story, but basically the story is that Radharani was able to take birth as Vindhya in the family of Vindhya Parvat, so that she would be able to attract Lord Krishna as her husband, and that way they could defeat Lord Shiva, because he was envious. Vindhya was envious of Himalaya. It's a very a long, intriguing pastime. But she appears in the material world in Gokula. And she appears with wonderful, auspicious marks on her lotus feet. She has wonderful markings that indicate a divine personality. There's a wonderful description of Narada Muni's first darshan of Radharani. Narada Muni had gone to Goloka, and he saw that the place was very pale. Something's missing here. So he sat down to meditate and understood that the Lord, along with his associates, had descended to the material world. Narada Muni desired to see the Lord in the material world, so he traveled to Boma Vrindavan. And he went to the home of Nanda Maharaj. There he saw the Lord in his baby form. Narada Muni then left Nanda Maharaj's house, thinking, now that the Lord has appeared to display his pastimes in this material world, thus his internal consort must have appeared as a gopi somewhere in Braj. So what did he do? He went searching, looking for his consort. And he travels and finally reaches the house of King Brishabhanu. And Narada Muni tells him that you're famous all over the world for your religious nature. I can see you are very rich with so much opulence. Please let me know if you have any son or daughter. I would like to see them. And Brishabhanu Maharaj brings out his son, which is who was Sridham, and shows him to Narada Muni, and Narada Muni says, oh, this is a great personality. He will be a great associate and servant of the Lord. You're so very fortunate. This boy, he will play with them day and night. He's very fortunate. Please take good care of him nicely. And as Narada Muni was preparing to leave, Bishubani Maharaj said, "This boy has a younger sister who, although as beautiful as the denizens of heaven, is blind, deaf, and dumb. I request that you please be kind enough to make her normal by giving your holy darshan. Please come inside and bless this girl." Narada Muni immediately became very curious and entered the room. He was feeling so much ecstasy when he saw her that he momentarily lost his senses and became stunned and still like a stone. When he came back to external consciousness, Narada thought, "I have traveled everywhere, including Brahmaloka, Rudraloka, and Indraloka, but I have never seen so beautiful a girl as this. I have seen the daughter of Himalaya, Devi Parvati, which we mentioned earlier. Her beauty pleases everyone in the material world, but her beauty cannot touch this girl. The beauty of Lakshmi and Saraswati would not equal even the shadow of this girl. I have seen the Mohini from Lord Vishnu, which bewildered Lord Shiva, but her beauty is not equal to the beauty of this girl." Narada then offered his prayers as follows. He offers some very beautiful prayers and then offers his obeisances to Radharani and started to glorify the beauty of Sri Krishna. And when Srimati Radharani heard the glories of the Lord and form of her most dear Shyamasundar, she manifests her own complete form right there in front of Narada Muni. And there's a wonderful exchange that describes Radharani speaking, or the Sakis also present, and speaking to Narada Muni, that "You must have served Sri Hari. That is why today you have been able to see the most beautiful eternal consort, a Kishori form of Sri Hari Vallabha Radharani. Later, when the proper time comes, you will see Radharani along with her Sakis." So this beautiful exchange. So on the day following Srimati Radharani's birth, Purnamasi Devi came to the house of Brishabhanu on the invitation of Kirtida. As soon as she saw the baby girl, immediately she felt so much ecstasy and said, "It is none other than Rajeshwari who has appeared in your house." So there were some wonderful exchanges there between the Matajis in appreciation of Radharani. And at this time, when King Vrishabhanu and Kirtita were looking at their beautiful daughter more closely, they suddenly realized that she was not seeing anything. Her eyes were still closed. Everyone, including Kirtita, started to cry in distress that such a beautiful girl was blind. Still, even though she was blind, because of her unparalleled beauty, everyone came to see the newborn daughter of Vrishabhanu and Kirtita. Nanda Maharaj and Jasoda also came there along with their son Krishna. And they all began to embrace and they were discussing and talking. And as they were all speaking, associating, Krishna climbed down from the lap of Mother Jasoda and entered the room where Radharani was sleeping. And Krishna climbed onto her bed and touched her eyes. Immediately she opened her eyes to take darshan of her beloved Krishna. Hari Hari Vo. When Kirtita and Jasoda saw Radharani's eyes had opened, they were very happy and immediately shared the news with everyone present. So, the reason for Radharani's taking birth as a blind girl is as follows. In Goloka Dham, Lord Krishna was preparing to come to the earth planet to perform his Boma Lila. He mentioned to Radharani that she also had to come to appear in his pastimes. But Radharani expressed her reluctance to come to earth because she would have to see so many people. when the only one she wished to look upon was Sri Krishna. Krishna assured her that on earth she would be able to see him always. Radharani accepted on the condition that on earth the first person she saw would be him. That is why she appeared as a blind girl and gained her sight only in the presence of her beloved Shyama Sundar. Oh, this is so. And during her Anaprasha ceremony, which happens, 6 months or so? 8 months down the road? Everyone was gathering to celebrate that ceremony of their daughter, King Vrishabhanu. And he arranged for some nice fire yajna and invited so many persons to come. And when everyone was enjoying a sumptuous feast, they were associating this way and that way, Radharani went and took one morsel of prasad from Lord Krishna's plate. And that was her first taste. While all the ladies were busy discussing their household matters, Radha and Krishna, in the mood of childhood, met and drank the beauty of each other like chakora birds. So, how much time do we have? We can go on like this for quite some time. There's a whole lot of nectar here. So, we'll just go on for a few more minutes. There's a wonderful description of Mother Jasoda rubbing turmeric on Srimati Radharani's hands. And typically in Vedic culture, that when that happens, that means that the girl is husband. She has a husband chosen. So Mother Jasoda was rubbing turmeric on Srimati Radharani's hands because she wanted her to marry Krishna. And when Radharani saw her yellow hands, she was very embarrassed and wondered how she would hide them from others. So she ran to a nearby pond, eager to remove the turmeric before she returned to her home. As she washed her hands, the entire pond turned yellow in color. The pond is now called Pilapukar. Pukar means means pond, and Pila means yellow. The water of this pond is still yellow even today. There's a beautiful story of how Krishna becomes the form of a peacock. We mentioned this once before, I think. Radharani was unable to go to the house of Nanda Maharaj to cook for Krishna. And so Krishna was feeling very sad that he wouldn't see Sri Radha. So he went to Barshana hoping that he might get a glimpse of her. He climbed on top of the hill and looked out over King Vrishabhanu's residence, expecting to have darshan of Radharani, but she was nowhere to be seen. So Krishna started making the sound of a peacock, calling out to Srimati Radharani. Does anyone know how to make that sound? Meow, meow. Yeah. When Radharani heard this sound from inside the palace, she could understand immediately. This was not the sound of a real peacock, but the voice of her beloved Krishna. She thought to herself, Krishna is calling out to me, but my mother may come to know of it and know that this is not a real peacock. So without informing her mother, she left the palace and went to a cave on the top of a hill. And there she met Lord Krishna, and they were in ecstasy meeting each other. They entered into the cave in a very solitary place, and sat down, and Krishna lay on the ground, resting his head on the lap of Radharani. Radharani was caressing Krishna's body very affectionately while speaking different loving subjects with him. Meanwhile, Mother Kirtira realized she had not seen her daughter for a long time. She became worried and searched for Radharani all over the place, but she was nowhere to be found. So in great anxiety, Mother Kirtita went to search for Radharani, seeing her footprints outside the palace. She followed them up to the top of the hill and to the entrance of the cave where Radha and Krishna were engaged in loving talks. Kirtita entered the cave but couldn't see Radha and Krishna in the darkness, but Krishna, he could see Kirtita, right? So he knew the cave had only one entrance, and there was no place inside the cave to hide. So Krishna accepted the form of a peacock. And thus, when Kirtita saw this or came and appeared or saw that this peacock was lying on the ground with its head on Srimati Radharani, she was satisfied. But, Radha, what are you doing here alone? And Radharani said, I was feeling bored sitting all the time inside the house. Anyway, it's time to come home. Let's go. You must eat your lunch now. So Radharani lifted the peacock from her thigh and gently placed him on the ground. And as they left, Krishna transformed again into his original Shyamasundar form, and he left and went home for lunch. In conclusion, I wanted to read just a couple things from Srila Prabhupada, which are so important, because he discusses approaching Srimati Radharani. And in it, Srila Prabhupada says that Radharani is the pleasure potency, Ladini Shakti. And the absolute truth is described as Ananda Maya, always in pleasure potency. When you want Ananda, you cannot have it alone. Alone you cannot enjoy. When you are in the circle of friends or family or other associates, you feel pleasure. Just like I am speaking, the speaking is very pleasing when there are many persons here. I cannot speak alone here. That is not Ananda. Ananda means there must be others. So Krishna, the absolute truth, is Ananda Maya. We are also Krishna's part and parcel. We give pleasure to Krishna. And the chief pleasure potency is Radharani. In this material world, we see that a great saintly person, simply to enjoy Brahmananda, he gives up everything to material enjoyment. He becomes sannyasi, ahang brahmasmi, just to understand that he is in Brahman realization. So if one has to give up everything material for Brahman realization, do you think that Parabrahman, the Supreme Brahman, can enjoy anything material? No. Krishna's enjoyment is nothing material. As we mentioned earlier, we can't equate the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in any way whatsoever with material enjoyment. She is a supreme spiritual internal potency of the Lord, and which is giving him pleasure, which is his only source of pleasure, because he doesn't enjoy in this material realm. If Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however fool I may be. Because however fallen I may be, if some way or other I can please Radharani, then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. And this is in connection with Srila Prabhupada earlier saying that if we want to understand Krishna, we need to go through his Ladini Shakti, Radharani. And when she sees that this is a sincere person, then she recommends Radharani. Then it is very easy for me to understand Krishna. Otherwise, if you go by the speculative process to understand Krishna, it will take many, many lives. But if you take devotional service, just try to please Radharani, and Krishna will be gotten very easily. Even Krishna cannot understand what is Radharani's quality. Although he says, Vedaham Samititani, I know everything, still, actually Krishna knows everything. But in order to understand Radharani, Krishna accepted the position of Radharani, and that we mentioned earlier in the form of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. When Krishna wanted to understand himself, he took the tendency of Srimati Radharani, and that is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Radhe Bhav Dhuti Sayulitam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, but he has accepted the propensities of Radharani. As Radharani is always in feelings of separation of Krishna, similarly, in the position of Radharani, Lord Chaitanya was feeling separation of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada goes on to comment that the Goswamis were also in that same mood, calling out, Hey Radhe, Hey Govinda. So, in conclusion, Prabhupada says, anyone who comes before Radharani to serve Krishna, she becomes so pleased. Oh, here is a devotee. She immediately recommends Krishna. Oh, here is a devotee. He is better than me. This is Radharani. I may not be a devotee. I may be most fallen rascal. But if I try to reach Krishna through Radharani, then my business is successful. Therefore, we should worship Radharani first. That is our business. Instead of offering directly one flower to Krishna, you just put it in the hands of Radharani. O Mother Radharani, Jagan Mata, if you kindly take this flower and offer it to Krishna, oh, Radharani says, oh, you have brought a flower? Krishna said, Bhattaram Pushpam Palam Toyam. But don't try to offer Krishna directly. Just offer through Radharani. It will be very much appreciated by Radharani. So this is our philosophy, to please Krishna through Radharani. And just today is the auspicious day of Radharani's appearance. So we should offer Pushpanjali and pray to Radharani that Radharani kindly be merciful and tell about me to your Krishna. To your Krishna. Krishna is yours. Krishna, Radha Krishna. Krishna is not independent. Krishna is Radharani's property. So you have to approach Krishna through Radharani. That is today, on this most auspicious day. We worship Radharani very much, very nicely, and then you will be happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.